Your call. On Radio 3, your opportunity to make breakfast time sound a little bit different.
Make your breakfast request by email 3breakfast@bbc.co.uk.
Your call. Part of Radio 3 Breakfast. Weekdays at 6:30, weekends at 7 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, where it's now 10 o'clock and time for this week's World Roots with Lucy Duran.
This is a fish market in the old centre of Thessaloniki. We're only a short walk away from the Mediterranean and the enormous bay and the docks that have made this the second largest city in Greece and also given it the reputation of being one of the most beautiful cities in this country. And the soundtrack to this market is wonderful as the fishmongers are eagerly trying to sell their whitebait and sardines and red snappers and all the local fish. In fact, what they're saying is, they're saying, fresh fish, local fish, come to my stall, come to my stall. A wonderful sound. But only yesterday there was a very different soundtrack. Just one block away, there was a massive demonstration against the austerity measures that had been provoked by the euro crisis. And that was a sad reminder of the problems that this country is going through. But it's a different kind of soundtrack that have brought World Roots here to Thessaloniki. For the first time, the World Music Trade Fair, WOMEX, is being held in Southeast Europe. And we're here for the first of two programs to feature some of the artists at the showcases. These are the up-and-coming artists of the world music scene. And later on, we're going to be hearing one of the innovative voices from Crete, Michalis Tsouganakis. We're also going to hear a veteran group from Dakar who get back together to recreate the luscious sounds of the 1970s in Senegal. But first, an artist who I've long admired. She's from Peru. She's actually from the Afro-Peruvian scene, Eva Ayón, in Thessaloniki at WOMEX 2012.
The song is a vals.
Yes.
Chabuca Granda.
Alegre, con luz de luna o de sol, tendida como una cinta con sus lados de arrebol. Arrebol de los geranios y sonrisas con rubor, arrebol de los claveles y las mejillas en flor. Perfumada de magnolia, rociada de mañanita, la veredita sonríe cuando tu piel la acaricia y le cogulí, se ríe y las ventanas se agita. Cuando por esa vereda tu fin estampa pasea.
Fin estampa, caballero, hey, caballero de fines estampa.
Toma, toma,
un lucero que sonriera bajo un sombrero. No sonriera, más hermoso ni más luciera. Caballero,
que en su andar anda reluce, la será la andar anda.
Hacia los aguanes y a los patios encantados, me lleva hacia las plazuelas y a los amores soñados. Veredita que te arrullas con tafetanes bordados, tacón de chapín de seda y fustes almidonados.
Es un cabilito alegre con luz de luna o de sol que te recorre cantando por si te puedo alcanzar.
Fin estampa, caballero, quien te pudiera guardar.
Caballero, caballero de vida estampa.
quiera, más hermoso ni más luciera. Caballero,
que en su andar ante reluce, la será la andando.
The very special voice of Eva Ayón, the Afro-Peruvian singer from Lima in Peru, who is showcasing here in Womex in Thessaloniki. I'm backstage with Eva Ayón now. Great pleasure to meet you, Eva. I have loved your voice for a long time. It's wonderful to actually meet you in this unlikely environment all the way up in the north of Greece, but why not? So, is this your first time here at Womex?
Sí, es mi primera vez aquí en Womex. Y también hoy día me enteré.
She says yes, it's her first time here in Womex, and it's even more incredible because she just found out that there were something like 49 Peruvian artists, Peruvian groups trying to get this slot, but that she was selected, so she's even more nervous about the concert. Eva, tell me about your music, because you do the two styles, don't you? You do Creole music, música criolla, but you also do the deep kind of Afro-Peruvian roots.
Mi música es una herencia, como lo dije, una herencia, gracias a Dios, africana.
The music that she plays is from the slaves that were brought 500 years ago from the Congo, from the Congo area of Africa to Peru. They have many composers who are rescuing and reviving these traditions. And so she's one of the only singers who does traditional folkloric music, who does the Creole music on the one hand and the traditional Afro-Peruvian music.
Pero yo trato de conservar la
Eva, for the past 42 years, has been trying to conserve, to preserve the traditional melodic lines and rhythms of Afro-Peruvian and Creole music. One of my favorite styles is landó.
El landó es un ritmo que servía a los negros esclavos que llegaron al Perú en son de lamento. Se lamentaban mucho de su suerte.
Landó is a rhythm that was created by the slaves. It was a lament, it was a song of sorrow because of everything that they were suffering.
Y también hay ritmos como, por ejemplo, el alcatraz. Que el alcatraz es muy curioso porque con un cucurucho de papel que se pone la mujer donde termina la espalda.
There's another rhythm called alcatraz, in which the woman puts a sort of paper cone at the spine of her back, and the man follows her around with a candle, with a lit candle, and tries to burn it. And if she likes him, she'll dance very slowly so that he can actually burn the paper cone and then take her away with him. And if she doesn't, she'll run away from him.
Un poco gracioso, pero es cierto. También hay un baile que es de contrapunto, que es la zamahueca.
Oh, we're getting some great demonstrations. I wish you could see this. This is Eva Ayón getting up on her feet to demonstrate the zamahueca, which is another of the Afro-Peruvian dances where the woman wears...
De contrapunto de ritmos.
So it's got a sort of rhythmic counterpoint, and the woman wears a very wide dress, and the man tries to do is put a scarf around her hips, and then she tries to get out of it, wrestle her way out of it with a very sensual movement.
Sí, es muy interesante. La parte negra del folclore negro del Perú es bien interesante.
She says it's very, very rich. Afro-Peruvian culture is very rich. It seems to me that Peru is going through a very good phase. You're economically, you're very strong.
Sí, la verdad que sí. Y ahora con lo de la comida.
Yes, it's a growing economy, and also with their gastronomy and with the pisco, their drinks. They're doing incredibly well right now. Peru is absolutely in fashion, so you should come to Peru. You're the great ambassador of Peru, so thank you very much for inviting us to Peru. But meanwhile, we're going to be sharing your wonderful music with you here at the showcase in Womex.
Thank you.
Dice.
fete candela, fete cebolla,
que mi vida he visto por donde soga.
Enciéndete candela, fete cebolla, que mi vida he visto por donde soga.
Mi mamá, mi tajita,
cuida con la criatura.
Mi mamá, mi tajita,
cuida con la criatura.
Inga,
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 que el niño quiere mamar. Inga,
inga,
inga, y va a ser su mamá. Mi mamá, mi tajita,
cuida con la criatura.
Enciéndete candela y
que no se quema,
fríete cebolla y
que no se quema.
Enciéndete candela y
que no se quema,
fríete cebolla y
que no se quema.
Mantequita caliente
que no se quema,
mantequita caliente
que no se quema,
mantequita caliente
que no se quema,
mantequita caliente.
the special voice of Afro-Peruvian music, Eva Ayón, here in Showcase at WOMEX in Thessaloniki in the north of Greece, 2012. Well, all of that has made me extremely hungry, so I think it's appropriate that we're now sitting in a restaurant not far from El Expo, where the showcases are taking place. And I have with me our colleague from Greece, an old friend, Yorgos Markakis. And Yorgos, you were very much involved in getting WOMEX to Southeast Europe, to this city, to Thessaloniki, for the first time outside Western Europe.
Yes, Greece has never participated in any expo ever.
Really?
Yes. So when they were saying that we want to project, we want to make known Greek music abroad, it was all in theory. So 2 years ago, Greece started in the middle of the crisis to see a road that it's like having something to sell. You know, when you want to sell in a shop, you better have cleaned the windows. You know, you have to show to the people what you're selling, what you stand for, you know that. Greece was never. We thought it was obviously that everybody has to come to Greece to find it. No, it doesn't work today in the market, in every market, and in music and in culture that. So then I have to introduce the idea to the community here, to the municipality. And luckily it was Yannis Boutaris, who is really a fantastic guy.
He's the mayor.
He's the mayor and has big experience by selling his wines for decades, you know. So he's open. He's, although he's not that young, but in his ideas and his way, you know, to sell the city, he's really fresh. So I think situations like that, chances like WOMEX, to bring 2,500 people and to lift up their old role of Thessaloniki, of Salonika, what it was for centuries. It was the port of the Balkan Peninsula. It was like the connections, you know, all the connection, all the communication, all the transports have to be through Thessaloniki. And due to this fact, you can find through the ages communities as Jewish community, Armenians, Muslims, of course, Greeks. They used to live all together, you know.
Yes, it was a hugely cosmopolitan city.
Yes.
So, and you feel that, don't you, even if it's not so cosmopolitan anymore? Because, of course, the Jewish, the old Ladino, the old Sephardic community is almost non-existent now. But you do feel, the history of this city. And, of course, it was where Alexander the Great was born. It's where Ataturk, the founder of the modern Turkish nation, was born, just up the hill from here. But yesterday, Yorgo, as you know very well, there was a demonstration here in Thessaloniki. There was a general strike.
All over Greece.
I mean, how bad is the situation if you're involved in the music industry?
I have a feeling that the same answer can come from in any other part of the world, even in England. When things come bad, from bad to worse, you know, the first things to cut is culture. That's the case here also. I heard from the municipality of Thessaloniki that previous years they had about €150,000 annually to run different projects.
Which is not a lot of money.
It's
frankly.
Not a lot of money, yes. And now it's less than 30, 35 something, which is, I don't know, you know, it's drastic cuts, you know.
It's
that.
Peanuts.
Yeah. On the other hand, as I have a feeling it's not new, this thought that I'm coming right now to you. I think it's an old saying that a big crisis is also a big opportunity, a big chance for playing the cards right, to make things completely different, to sell yourself better, to promote yourself better.
And perhaps more efficiently.
Yeah. My experience, as I see it, if I see it historically, that every big crisis in Greece, it sounds a little paradox, but it brings new generations of poets, literature, musicians, authors, poets.
So you think we're in store for a wonderful flourishing of the arts?
I think
it's a very optimistic view.
Yes, it's very optimistic. It's very optimistic, but I think it has a drop of reality in it.
Yorgo, the next musician that we're going to be hearing in our program is actually originally from Crete, and it's Michalis Zouganakis.
Yes.
Do you know him?
Zouganakis belongs to a generation of young Cretans that they present the music as actually the Cretans know the music of Rizitika and all the tradition around the island that comes naturally from everyday life. It's like he's enriched somehow with the everyday Perhaps it would be that the very artistic, classical, you know, in terms of the Cretan music, would be a little snobbish and say no. It's not that elegant, it's not that, you
or
know.
Or is it very popular?
Exactly. This is the more popular, I would say, on the way to more popular Cretan, how the Cretans, the young generations know their tradition and how they have a representation there today.
So we can say that Michalis Tsouganakis is someone who represents what young people in Crete today are listening to.
Correct.
This is one of the new generation of Cretan musicians. His name is Michalis Tsouganakis, and we're here in the Womex radio station in Thessaloniki. That song that you heard, it's actually hot off the press. He's never recorded it before, and it's called Ogis Talou. Tell us about this song, Michali.
Είναι μια μουσική, καταρχήν η μουσική του γεννήθηκε, να το πω και έτσι.
It became a song in a minute, so it's not a song which was calculated. It is about somebody who cannot say to the other person that he doesn't love him anymore, has not the courage, has not the power to say the truth because he doesn't want to hurt him.
That's a very poignant lyric, and that's a situation that lots of people face.
Yes.
So the lauto that you play, I mean, this is the typical instrument of Crete, one of the main instruments of Crete, but you play it in a very different way. You're using harmonics. And so how are you developing the lauto from the traditional lauto?
Ήταν συνοδευτικό όργανο πριν.
It was an instrument playing the chords for the other instruments. The solo instrument was the lira.
So it was an accompanying instrument.
Yes, accompanying instrument. And it, Michalis made it soloist instrument.
Βγαίνει ο χαρακτήρας μου εδώ, γιατί αν είχαν μάθει ένα άλλο όργανο...
So he's saying that his character, you can see while he's playing his character. So he became one with the instrument. Somehow he loves the instrument so much and he wants to give this instrument also an opportunity to speak, like the other instruments became in other music.
Michali, we're going to be hearing you in your showcase here at Womex. I mean, you've got a much bigger band and you've got a drum kit and electric bass and this kind of thing. But your music still sounds very connected to Crete. How are you trying to modernize Cretan music?
Γεννήθηκα στο Βέλγιο. Απομυθοποίησα αυτό που λέμε.
He was born in Belgium, so he has a different point of view to Crete. What he means is that he started doing the authentic music and using some modern instruments, but there are other people who can do pop music and rock music much better than he does. So he's connected to the authentic Crete music.
But your parents are Cretan. You have a Cretan background.
Yes.
Tell me about your roots in Crete.
Εξάλλου και γι' αυτό και άγγιξα αυτή τη μουσική, πήρα από τη ρίζα μου χωρίς να πειράξω όμως.
His parents went to Belgium, so there is a cut to Crete, but he still holds these roots and has a respect of the melodies of Crete, and he uses them. What he said also is that the roots come from there, but in the end, the music belongs to everybody.
Do you think that Cretan music... The traditional music of Crete, the sirtos, the mandinades, the things that you play at festivities and saint days and this kind of thing. Do you think that music is going to continue?
Επειδή θεωρώ ότι παράδοση σε κάθε τόπο του κόσμου σημαίνει τα πιο δυνατά πράγματα, τα πιο δυνατά συναισθήματα, τα πιο σωστά και καλά για όλους μας.
Tradition means... the best things to hold on.
Τα πιο δυνατά.
And strong, the strongest thing to hold on.
Πιο αλήθεια. Αυτά μένουνε, αυτά πάνε στην άλλη γενιά. Περνάει από το κνησα, όπως και πέφτουνε.
Ah, okay. It's like a filter. It stays what is really worthy and good through the time.
The time is a filter.
People have not to study to understand this. They feel it instinctively.
But don't you think there's a danger that there are many wonderful old things that will be lost.
Τόσο δυνατά, όταν δεν μας κάνουν τόσο καλό, όταν δεν είναι τόσο χρήσιμα, χάνονται.
Some of them, of course, will be lost. If they're not strong enough or they don't fit in the time.
What's the role of someone like yourself, Michali, in renovating the tradition, in keeping it current?
Καταρχήν, θέλω να επικοινωνήσω και να
music has only one language. You mean it or you don't mean it. He feels that he has a duty to carry the Crete music forward. He does it in a very, very underground level. He doesn't do it like a pop musician. And there is no marketing what Michalis does. It just goes on like it used to go in Crete for many years. He follows his roots.
We'll be right back. δεν είναι πόνος, αυτός δεν είναι πόνος. Μα
Well, he may have been born in Belgium and he may live in Athens, but Michailis Tsouganakis, whose showcase we just heard here at WOMEX 2012, really keeps on the Cretan tradition, but in a very modern way. As you could hear, that crowd absolutely loved him, and there are lots and lots of Greeks here amongst the many delegates that come from around the world to this World Music Trade Fair. Now we're going to go over to another part of the Balkans, not that far from here geographically, but another country. We're going to hear one of the great traditions of Southeast Europe, the so-called isopolyphony, and the best isopolyphonic choirs come from the south of Albania. This is a group who are very well known in Albania. They've had very little exposure outside the country. There are seven men. They wear the white skirt that's typical of the south of Albania, with the Muslim hat and a big wide belt, tight leggings, slippers with red pom-poms. They look extraordinary and they sound even better. So here showcasing at WOMEX 2012 is Hüsni Zella with the Albanian Isopolyphonic Choir.
Sakish mbyllori lysin e thellës atolin e brinjë veshur me një copëlinjë muru. Po nuk dëgjoj qysh durova sa mbaroj vro. Tera hava dan më mirë tera si gjeraku e rëmbeva më. Ta më të
Cerca e chiave di l'opportoni, alla pastori faccia girà, endus
cerchione come un rimbeco venna trisina. Sa tanti mesi, tante stagioni di spaesata da Manilla, ogni ne cerca la ragione chi ha portato la sua vita quella. Tanti colori e frutti persi chi ogni è giunto a ritrovare, lasciando qualche sogno appesi in libra storie di qualche città. E di angiolina trovare in stu luogo appena dolcina i baci di fuoco. Stannote bello un bel pellegrino un suo scallone ferma culà, reito come un'ultima sfida e quasso pace chi bene la qua. Cerca e chiave di locurtoni, alla passoni faccia girà, endu silenzio su merchioni, come un rimbeco venna trisina. Dumane cari in anta marina, un so scallone ferma culà, rei tu con mo l'ultima sfida, pianteranno più di lucica, rei tu come l'ultima sfida, un pianteranno più di lucica.
Apart from young musicians who are unknown to Womex audiences, Womex also presents veteran musicians who've played a really important role in the music of their country but haven't had the kind of recognition outside their country that they deserve. And the group that we're shortly going to hear showcased here at Womex is Le Sahel, and they're named after a great nightclub in Dakar, Senegal. In fact, it's a nightclub where I have been many times. And I'm sitting now with the lead singer of this group, Le Sahel. His name is Idrissa Diop. Your group, Le Sahel, has played a very important role in Senegalese popular music, but your role is not so well known outside the country. So tell me about your early period of your group, Le Sahel.
Le Sahel a été un moment important dans ma vie et un moment important dans la vie.
Idrissa said that this period of his life and of his musical career is very important, not only for him but also for the other musicians like Serti Diental, who was the chef d'orchestre, and there were just friends who were participating in this group, which played such a big role in Senegalese music. A really happy time of their life, very creative, and they are very happy that they've been participating in this fantastic group.
So, Idrissa, this was in the 1970s.
1974.
And that's way before the period when we think of the beginning of Mbalax, you know, the most popular, well-known style of Senegal. I think outside Senegal, we think that this music started in 1980 with Youssou N'Dour, but in fact, it really goes back before then, and you are part of that story.
Yeah. Nous, on a été les... Moi, j'aime pas trop parler de moi, de la période, mais j'aime bien parler du groupe.
He says that the band of Sahel was the band which influenced most of the musicians in Senegal. It was the first group that he put the electric sound in the... Because before that, it was the... They were playing just salsa. And it was like a school for young musicians at the time. And he has given the example of Youssou N'Dour, who was 12, 13 years old at that time, and he was going to the club, and Idrissa says that he was inviting him on stage to sing, but he was refusing. He was young, he was...
shy.
He was a bit shy. People doesn't know the story of Sahel. It is the group which is, gave the Senegalese music its identity. And until now, nobody has spoken about this. But now, he says, is the time people to understand.
From the original Sahel, there are three members of the original group still with your band. So what happened? You split up, and then you just decided recently to get back together again?
L'histoire, c'est ce fou-là. It's crazy, boy.
Well, he says my story, actually, that I went and I approached him and I asked him to reform the group of Sahel. I met him in the summer of 2009. And I told him, look, I want to put up a record label. And
that's
I think
Teranga Beat.
And I think the best group to start with is the Sahel. I told him that I have listened to all the music of Senegal. I know everything about the music of Senegal. There's nothing that I haven't listened to. And I think that this group, there is something special in their sound, the way they were playing, and how they influenced the bands later. The Club of Sahel was very important at the time. Everybody passed from Sahel, not only groups from Senegal, but also groups from other countries, like James Brown from the United States, Jackson 5. And he said for Senegal, for Dakar, the Club of Sahel was the Temple of Sound.
Yeah, the Temple of Sound.
So, Idrissa, what is the project that you're doing now with this new Sahel?
C'est le son qu'on a fait en 74, c'est le même son qu'on est en train de faire.
They're trying to bring back the sound of 1974, 2012, and they play exactly the same way they were used to play at that time.
What do you think your project, this project of recreating the sound of the 1970s in Senegal, what will this show young musicians? What's the situation now with music in Senegal?
La situation dans la musique au Sénégal, il faut savoir que la musique au Sénégal est très très malade.
He said that we have to know that the situation in the Senegalese music is not very well. There are three things that are missing from the musicians nowadays that they used to give at that time. He says they are the three P: purity, passion,
and patience. Moi, j'ai l'impression que les gens sont, parce que nous, quand on faisait la musique en 74, on cherchait pas, on n'avait pas.
At that period, the money didn't matter. They didn't come back to make money. They came back to find these three things: purity, passion, and passions.
What is the song that you're going to play tonight that you think that we will especially like?
J'aime beaucoup Massani Cissé. Massani Cissé, j'aime beaucoup parce que ça.
He said that his preferred track is Massani Cissé because it's the history of their ancestors, and that this is why his most preferable tracks that he's going to play tonight.
Massani Cissé, Master Wilfried! Listen to the djembe talk. This djembe talk for you. Yes, 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 yes. I like your hand for this. Woo! Everybody want to woo! Woo! Everybody woo! Woo! Everybody woo! Woo!
Music from Senegal, ending this week's edition of World Roots. The presenter was Lucy Duran, and the producers were Roger Short and Martin Webb. And Lucy will be introducing more music from this year's Womax Festival next week on World Roots, and that's at the same time, Sunday evening, 10 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3. Now, what's happening in the afternoons in the coming week? Here's Louise Fryer to tell us.
In Afternoon on 3, we've performances from Dutch orchestras and ensembles, with music from concerts given at the Concertgebouw and in Utrecht. Maris Janssens conducts the Royal Concertgebouw, and there's music from Janine Janssen, the Amsterdam Sinfonietta, the Netherlands Radio Chorus and Chamber Philharmonic, Baroque Opera Amsterdam, the Combattimento Consort and the Hague Residentia Orchestra. Join me, Louise Fryer, weekdays on BBC Radio 3 from 2 o'clock.
That's starting tomorrow, of course, and I noticed that Louise's opera matinee on Thursday afternoon is a concert performance of Bizet's Pearlfishers with Charles Castronova and Jean-François Lapont in the title roles. Michel Plasson conducts the Netherlands Radio Chorus and the Netherlands Radio Philharmonic Orchestra. The Pearlfishers, Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
This is Joe Wiley from BBC Radio 2 in the office with Steve.
BBC Radio 3's Tom Service here on the bus to Farnham with Ian.
Take BBC Radio with you, whenever and wherever you go, with BBC iPlayer Radio.
I'm Kirsty Young from BBC Radio 4 on a brisk morning jog with Sarah.
You can listen live or catch up on your computer, tablet or mobile, or download the brand new app. To start your BBC iPlayer Radio journey, go to the Radio 3 website.
I'm John Shea, and there's music through the night with me from 12:30, continuing our series of Beethoven symphonies from the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Douglas Boyd. Very stylish performances, which I do recommend. That's from 12:30. Now, though, it's 11 o'clock, and it's Sunday night, that means it's time for Jazz Lineup, presented by Julian Joseph.
Jazz Lineup this week comes to you from the Fairfield Halls in Croydon, a venue that first opened its doors 50 years ago, on the 2nd of November 1962 to be exact, by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother. It's made up of three halls: the main concert auditorium, the Ashcroft Theatre, named after local dame Peggy Ashcroft, and the Arnhem Gallery. The first concert was given by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Sir Malcolm Sargent, with soloist Yehudi Menuhin. Jazz has featured predominantly over the 50 years, with all the major jazz names appearing here in Croydon, situated just over 10 miles from central London. Through the programme, many of the great names in jazz are going to be represented by the Alan Barnes Quartet, who will play items associated with bands such as Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Art Pepper, Woody Herman, George Shearing and many others. And we'll be hearing from people who've attended these concerts here at Fairfield: Alan Shipton, Jigs Wiggum, Aka Bilk and Charles Alexander. Let's go inside as the Alan Barnes Quartet are about to play a tune associated with Coleman Hawkins. It's Bean and the Boys, from the album of the same name. He played here in 1966. Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, the Alan Barnes Quartet. Proceedings have definitely commenced when the music has started. That was the Alan Barnes Quartet, ladies and gents, with Bean and the Boys. And we're here in the illustrious foyer of the Fairfield Halls in Croydon, with an enthused audience by the high quality of musicians playing for us here. We've got Alan Barnes on the saxes, Dave Newton on the piano, Chris Hill on the bass, and Steve Brown on the drums. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. From the 50th anniversary of the Fairfield Halls in Croydon, the BBC Big Band have been recording Big Band Special tonight, conducted by Jigs Wiggum, a concert that you can hear on Radio 2 Monday nights on both the 5th and 12th of November at 9:30 p.m. Jigs was part of the Kenton Big Band that played here in Croydon, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome onto the stage Mr. Jigs Wiggum.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, you've just finished playing. Did you play any Kenton tonight?
Oh, yeah, sure. First of all, it's weird to be here. Very weird, because the first time I played here was in 1963 with Stan Kenton, 49 years ago, almost to the day, yeah. And to come back, and I played here with the BBC Big Band and the Rias Big Band, and also with the Bert Kempfert in 1980. So I've been here several times.
So what are the big memories, the big pervading memories of Fairfield Halls for you?
Well, first of all, when I first came here, I was 19. So I was just impressed with the country and the people and the beer. And the beer was pretty good, too.
At 19, you were impressed with everything.
Oh, yeah. And it was just a great place to be.
What specific pieces did you play tonight that...
Well, we did a cross-section of the bands and the orchestras who played here. We can't cover everybody in 2 hours, but we covered Kenton, Woody Herman, Maynard Ferguson, Billy May, a lot of people who had been here. Bert Kempfert, we did a beautiful arrangement written by Steve Gray of Love, L-O-V-E. And it was a good show, and the people were fantastic. You people were all at the show tonight, weren't you? Most of you? Did you like it?
Well, Jigs, it's been great having this brief conversation with you just about your reminiscences of being here, and also just about programming to play here with the BBC Big Band. People can hear the show on BBC Radio 2. Right. And Jigs, just before you go, I just wanted to find out, I know you do a lot of conducting and a lot of leading and orchestrating, but did you play much trombone tonight?
I did one feature solo of a beautiful piece that was actually recorded by Carl Fontana, one of my great heroes, Polka Dots and Moonbeams, a beautiful ballad. And did you like that? Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Mr. Jigs Wiggum.
Good to be here. All the best. Happy birthday, Fairfield. Thank you.
As we mentioned, Stan Kenton, there was a recording at the Fairfield Halls in 1972, and we're going to hear from that. It's called Intermission Riff. Thank you. That was a Stan Kenton band, and a recording made at the Fairfield Halls in 1972, Intermission Riff, and a real pleasure to speak with Jigs Wiggum. We return to this wonderful band, the Alan Barnes Quartet, and a piece dedicated to the great trumpet player, Dizzy Gillespie, who played here with his quintet in 1965, and you're going to hear Woody and You.